Let's talk now about a book. It's called Scapegoat. It's Halifax author Joel Zemel's book about the legal proceedings following the 1917 Halifax explosion. It's been shortlisted for the 2014 Atlantic Book Awards, and author Joel Zemel joins me on the phone this afternoon to tell us more about Scapegoat. Hi, Joel.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't hear a whole lot about what happened after the explosion. We all know all of the stories that led up to and involved the explosion and, you know, its impact on North End Halifax, for example, and that it killed, you know, nearly 2,000 people, left many thousands more homeless. We've all heard about, you know, the American response, the trains that came from the U.S. To come to our aid. But we haven't heard a whole lot about what happened afterwards, the legal proceedings, and that's what your book focuses on, huh?
Yes, it's quite a story. I wasn't really aware of that myself. I was doing some research on some photographs of the blast clouds and trying to get the provenance of some of these photographs, and I happened to read John Griffith Armstrong's book on the Halifax explosion and the Royal Canadian Navy, and I learned the story through that. I knew a little bit about Francis Mackey and Captain Lemedec, what happened to them, but I didn't really know the whole story until I read John's book and really learned more about it. It was quite a protracted series of events and very interesting, actually.
So they were looking for someone to pin the blame for what happened, and they focused on these three individuals. Captain Lemedec, who is the captain of the Mont Blanc, is that correct?
That's correct.
Pilot Francis Mackey, who was the local that would be on board the Mont Blanc and helping it come into the port.
That's right.
And then the Royal Canadian Navy's Chief Examining Officer of the Port, Acting Commander F. Evan Wyatt.
That's right.
So those three were the scapegoats, I guess.
Yes. I should point out that the title of my book is not a noun, it's a verb, scapegoat. These people were scapegoated, basically. The city at the time was in a I would call it a frenzied state, I would imagine, after such a horrible disaster. And I believe that it's only natural to try to find someone to blame. The real unfortunate thing is that this was an accident. I mean, it was a horrible collection of events that just culminated in this terrible disaster. But people, it's human nature, I guess, to try and find someone to blame for this.
I would suppose if you're going to blame anyone, it would have to be the pilot, would it not?
Yeah, on a very superficial level, you would do that. And actually, Francis Mackey suffered for years. I mean, they never went to trial, but he and the captain were. He was put in jail actually after the preliminary hearing, and he was eligible for habeas corpus. He had a very good lawyer, Walter Ahern, and. Because the pilot and the captain were arrested on the same warrant, whatever happened to Mackey happened to the pilot. So when Judge Benjamin Russell issued the writ of habeas corpus, it affected the captain as well. So the captain and the pilot were freed, and that was it for them. And Mackey really... These were just people doing their jobs, and they got caught in a very strange series of events. I mean, too many. I mean, it's like Murphy's Law gone nuts, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like nobody could anticipate what the chain of events that led up to this. And, of course, after these men were released on habeas corpus, the only guy left was Commander Wyatt.
He was the only one that was actually tried, was he not?
Yes, he was. He was indicted by a grand jury and forced to go to trial on charges of manslaughter. At the preliminary hearing, it was overseen by a judge named R. A. McLeod, and now he was a stipendiary magistrate. Who at the time, you know, a stipendiary magistrate was appointed, so he wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't, you know, and Judge Benjamin Russell railed against this, really, that it didn't have the experience to oversee such serious charges. But He had the power, so Commander Wyatt was indicted by a grand jury and went to trial in April of 1918. The odd thing was is that Judge Russell was the judge at the trial and also at the grand jury hearing, and he failed to convince the jury not to indict at the grand jury hearing, but at the trial he was very adamant about there was no evidence to support these charges, and not only was it a manslaughter charge, it was a bogus charge of criminal negligence, really, and that was also he was so convincing that the prosecutor Andrew Clooney didn't even make a closing argument. Wyatt was acquitted, fully acquitted of the charges, but unfortunately, he was never exonerated. He lost his career. He lost his friends. He was married to Dorothy Brookfield. He was connected with a very powerful family in Halifax, and it didn't do one bit of good. He and Dorothy moved to Boston. He landed on his feet. He went back to the Merchant Marine. He lived to be 89. He and Charlie Burchill were the only outlived everybody. They both died in 1967, the same year as the 50th anniversary of the explosion. Wyatt was 89 and Burchill was 90.
Wow. Whatever became of the Captain Aimé Lemedec of the Mont Blanc? What happened to him?
Well, Captain Lemedec, after he was released on the habeas corpus, went back to France. He went back to his job with the shipping company. He was the captain of many vessels. He had a career up until about 1931, and when he retired, they gave him the Chevalier, the Legion of Honor. They handed those out for service. He was in the service for a long time, and he died in 1955.
It's amazing stories. And why the title of your book then? Why Scapegoat?
Well, I really felt that I wanted to tell the story of these three men that had been targeted for this disaster, when really, if you wanted to blame three guys, you'd have to blame 10,000 guys. There was like so many reasons why this disaster happened. You could take one of these events out and never would have happened, but they were all, it was all set up to happen. It's hard to, you can't explain it. And but I felt that when I first started, I wanted to exonerate, my goal was to basically exonerate Evan Wyatt. But over the course of my research, and I dealt with primary sources mostly. I don't deal in speculation, and I don't deal in supposition. I go for evidence, and everything showed that this was a horrible disaster. Nobody really, you can't blame anybody. It would be too lengthy to get into the circumstances. People can read my book if they want to know that. But the thing is that I believe that these men were wrongfully charged, and if they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong job, and those were the guys that suffered the most. And Francis Mackey suffered, right? Even when they did his obituary in 1961, he died in 1961 in January, and they spent more time talking about the Mont Blanc disaster and the Halifax explosion than they did about the man dying.
Really?
which is very, it was a tell, it was a sad story all around. I mean, these men, it's almost like they suffered twice. They were victims of the disaster twice, but I just wanted to tell the story, and I realized early on that in order to tell the story properly, I had to deal not only with the criminal charges and the litigation, I had to deal with the civil litigation as well. So my book covers all of the legal proceedings in detail.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, in today's society, if that happened today, there'd be all kinds of lawsuits filed on behalf of all kinds of different people. It wasn't nearly as litigious a society back then as it is today, but did any other lawsuits or legal action result? Did anybody seeking compensation for damages or anything along those lines?
Well, there was a relief commission set up later, and people were compensated for damages. They got, people got, I mean, it was a faulty system. I mean, in many people. I mean, there are stories of people like John Gammon who saved lives the day of the explosion. He was injured. Two of his children died. He went back to England. His wife was severely injured. I mean, he was asking for an extra $5 a month to live on, and they wouldn't give him that.
Okay.
But there, you know, there was most people were compensated, and when they made that discovery years ago, and Janet Kitts based her book on this incredible discovery, you know, in the vault there with like 4 tons of material from the Relief Commission, and they sifted through all of that stuff, and all of that information is at the archives. Anybody doing research on the Halifax explosion can find a tremendous amount of information at the archives, the litigation really was the criminal and civil litigation was really the most. I can't really say there were any other lawsuits per se, because people. This commission was formed to compensate people and to rebuild a city. Actually, you know, and of course you have the area up on the other side of Needham Hill. That was built up afterwards, and that all came from that money.
Very interesting. Well, it's a fascinating story. The book is called Scapegoat, and as I mentioned, it's been shortlisted for the 2014 Atlantic Book Awards. Good luck with that, Joel.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Well, I love hearing about our history here. And,
so do I.
Yeah, this is a great book. It's called Scapegoat. The author is Joel Zemel, and thank you very much, Joel, for chatting with us here this afternoon.
Thank you, Rick.
Take care. Bye-bye. Joel Zemel, again, the author of Scapegoat, shortlisted for the Atlantic Book Awards this year, a history of the legal proceedings following the 1917 Halifax explosion. Love history. Love it.